everybody. It's good to be here with you and certainly have this opportunity to meet with you here once again at the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. Brother Will mentioned about listening to tapes. I've gotten to where I'm not here, able to be here every time. I have to do serve a church up in Tennessee. But I got where I listen to Brother Will, so I enjoy that too, Brother Will. I listen to Brother Will on that tape, and I know it's not like the same as being here, but like you enjoying, but still, I learn a lot from listening to Will. And so that's the reason I do it. It's time well spent when you spend the time listening to. And you know, today in today's age in internet, if you have a computer, I mean, you can listen to preaching all day long and never run out, because there's so many sermons out there from all different areas. Different churches have, just like y'all do, a way to record them and put them out there on the internet. If I turn to a portion of scripture here, I want to take a text here. I call this particular portion of scriptures, of course we won't go through all of it, I call it talking about sermons, I call this the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher that ever preached the gospel. And that's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And I can remember whenever me and my wife, were blessed in 1999 to go to the Bible Land with Brother Joe Hildreth, and 9 other Primitive Baptist preachers were along with us on that trip. And it was a wonderful trip, and to be able to go to the places spoken of in the Bible, and to hear the different ministers speak. I had an opportunity to speak there at the shepherd's field, where the angels met the shepherds and declared the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But at this particular place was by the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus preached this sermon. And that morning we heard Elder Kenneth Brantley. I don't know whether you know Kenneth. He's a fine preacher, one of the best the Primitive Baptists have got. And he preached that morning from this Sermon on the Mount, what it's called. And sometimes it's called the Beatitudes, because it's Jesus professing blessings upon those that are his children. And so it's called Beatitudes. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus preached it there by the Sea of Galilee. And as much as I enjoyed that sermon, as I heard Kenneth Brantley preach from this that morning in Israel, I'm sure it wasn't anything like it was when the Lord preached it. So we'll just begin. It's chapter 5 of the book of Matthew's, and I'll get down to one particular one that I want to take my thoughts from. And it says, after seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. That's speaking of Jesus. He saw the multitudes of people. He went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying. And now we're just going to take 2 of them this morning. 2 of them is all we're going to have time for. Primarily, we want to deal with the second one. But blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit. Now, who would that be? Those who have been born of the Spirit of God.
That's right.
and feel the weight and the burden of sin in their life. They're poor. They feel to be poor in spirit. They feel to be unworthy. It's sort of like the example of, in the Jewish temple where the Pharisee went down and he went to the front of the temple and he prayed thus, the scripture said, with himself. He stated all the things about how he was so much better than others. But yet there was another man there, the publican. He didn't feel worthy to come forth unto the front and proclaim, talk to the Lord. He was in the back of the temple. He didn't feel worthy to come forward. He was poor in spirit. And he was in a blessed condition to be that way. And he cried out unto the Lord, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner." To be poor in spirit is a blessed condition. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He said, it's a blessed condition to be in that. Because God, who is your Father, has rescued you from a state of death in trespasses and in sin. And given you eternal life. And caused you to feel the weight and the burden of sin. And caused you to feel that you're poor in spirit and unworthy of the things that God has done for you. So those characters are blessed. They're blessed of God. And that's what Jesus started this off. If you're poor in spirit this morning, if you feel unworthy of the things the Lord has done for you, and we are unworthy, but God is a God of mercy, and thanks be unto God that He has been merciful to us. He's blessed us this morning to meet here in this place to worship and adore our Lord Jesus Christ for the things that He has done for us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And every single child of God that's been born of the Spirit of God is blessed with the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, whatever you want to call it. I believe there's two aspects of the kingdom of heaven that Jesus is addressing here. There's first of all that triumphant kingdom that includes all of God's children, regardless of whether they're Primitive Baptists, regardless of whether they're here this morning to worship with us, regardless of even whether they're in a meeting house to worship at all. They're poor in spirit, and they are in the kingdom of God because God has translated them from death unto life into the kingdom of His dear Son. Yes, they're in the triumphant kingdom. Why do I call it the triumphant kingdom? Because Jesus has paid it all. All the debt they owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He's washed them white as snow. Yes, they're in the kingdom of heaven. They are in His triumphant kingdom. But the best part of that for us old Baptists is that we're in the visible kingdom of Jesus Christ. We're in the church of the living God. You say, well, what's the difference in the Primitive Baptist Church and other orders of churches that meet together this morning to worship the Lord? The Lord said He seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. While we're here this morning to worship the Lord in spirit, Spirit. All of us are here because we have the Spirit of God within us that caused us to feel, to want to get up this morning, to get on the move, to get in the public worship, to gather ourselves together with like precious believers to worship and adore the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've come in spirit. Others in other orders are the same way. They got up this morning. They had the Spirit of God within them. They wanted to go and to worship the Lord. But the difference is this. They don't worship Him in truth. No, they've devised some method of how they've got to do something in order to go to heaven. Let me tell you what you got to do to go to heaven. Absolutely nothing. It was passive. God reached down when you had done nothing. God reached down when there was nothing good within you to cause Him to love you. God loved you eternally in all of eternity. How long is eternity? Well, it's an error for me to ask you how long it is, because it has no length. It is eternal, and eternal is eternal. So don't talk about how long it is. It has no length. It has no beginning. It had no ending. It's a God who reached down and rescued you. He is an eternal being, and He's loved you in all eternity. And God in time reached down when you were dead in trespasses and in sin, and gave you eternal life. Yes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Oh, isn't it nice to be comforted? You know, everybody wants to be comfortable. We all have that desire in our life. You know, have you ever gone, you say, well, that old mattress that I sleep on, it's just not very comfortable. So you go out to the mattress store and you try them all out, and you get one you think that feels good when you lay down on it in the store, and you get it home and it's too firm, or it's not firm enough, and you wasted your money, and there you are with something that's not comfortable. You have to leave with it anyway. Well, you know, they got some now, they call it a sleep number bed. If it's not comfortable, you just adjust it to your comfort level. Me and my wife have one. She's got her comfort level. I've got mine. So at least we didn't waste our money and get one that we're not comfortable with. But everybody seeks to be comfortable. When you buy a car, you want one that has seats that are comfortable, that you can go in and be comfortable when you sit there. Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourn, why would they mourn? They mourn because of their sin. They feel the weight and the burden of sin in their lives, and they mourn over that sin. Jesus said, such that do that, such that mourn, such that feel the weight and the burden of sin, they'll be comforted. You know, this is a comfortable place to be this morning for that condition. It's such a great thing to come to hear the things that Jesus has done for us, to hear the things that Jesus has promised us in His Word, to know that He has gone back to heaven and prepared a place for us, and we will one day be with Him in heaven and immortal glory, eternally. Eternally, I said, forever and forever. You know, that's a comfort. If that don't comfort you, I don't know what to say to you. That is a comfortable thing. We come to church to praise and worship the Lord, but yet when we do it, we're comfortable. We are comforted in the gospel. We're comfortable to know that Jesus came to this earth, that he went to the tree of the cross, and he died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was taken down from that cross when he laid down his life and placed in a borrowed tomb from Joseph of Arimathea, and he laid in that tomb for 3 days and 3 nights, and by the very power of God came forth on that fourth day came forth from that grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and he spent some time with his apostles and his disciples, and whenever he spent time with them, after he had spent some time with them, he went out to Bethany. He ascended up into heaven, and he took his place, received up into a cloud, and took his place at the right hand of the throne of God, where he's at right this very hour, right this very minute, interceding for us and interceding for all of his children in his triumphant kingdom on this very moment, every single moment of the day. Yes, Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Now I want to take a look at a couple of scriptures that speak of that comfort and how it is that we're comforted. It's God that comforts us. It's God that blesses us. It's God that blesses me and Brother Will to stand here and proclaim the gospel. You know, if you'd ask me before I ever started preaching, if I would ever preach, I'd have told you there wouldn't be any way. You know, one of the things I'll tell you about myself, I've always been very shy and quiet person. I've never been one to stand before people and speak. I graduated from the University of Georgia. I have a degree in accounting. I remember one of the requirements for me to get my degree was I had to take a speech class. And in that speech class, I had to make five-minute speeches. And I was so nervous about taking that class, I put it off to the very last quarter of my senior year to do it. After I did it, I got through it okay. But I was nervous about standing before a few people to make a speech or to say something. But when God calls a man to preach, it'll happen to him whether he wants to or not. I never asked for this preaching job. I never asked for it. As a matter of fact, it all started with me immediately after the day I was baptized. The day I was baptized, I went back with Elder Roy Gene Barker to Carthage, Tennessee, and he asked me to get up into the stand and give my testimony as to what the Lord had done for me and why I left the missionary church and became a primitive Baptist. Well, some had tape recorders going, and that got out, and first thing you know, I'd be here, and they'd ask me to get up and introduce service. Some places it has to be on the floor. Some places it can be in the stand. There has different traditions about it, but that's how I sort of got into it. And I actually preached a number of years that way. Before I was ever licensed, they didn't even know it at the church I was a member that I was doing that. And so it just sort of developed. The Lord was leading me on. I believe the Lord was in the arrangements. I believe the Lord had called me to preach. I wouldn't even have attempted to. And I still don't feel right about coming here just to be with you. I came here to worship like all of you did. I came here to hear Elder Martin. But Elder Martin, he's heard enough of me. He knows that he can call on me if he wants to, but that's up to him. He is the pastor of this church, and whatever he does, that's what happens. So I can't stop that. But I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to have the opportunity to preach. I promised the Lord whenever I first started. I said, Lord, if you're calling me to preach, don't keep giving me these opportunities. And it hadn't stopped yet. And so I just keep going and serving the Lord and doing the best that old Virgil Heron can do. I've gotten off track here, and I was going to talk a little bit about comfort. So let me cover a couple of scriptures here so I can leave Will a little time here. It says here in chapter 72 of the book of Psalms, it says here, chapter 71 of the book of Psalms, it says here in verse 21, but let's just back up to that 19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hath done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? There's none like unto this great God. He has all power both in heaven and in earth. Thou which showeth me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Comfort comes to us from God, and it's a great comfort whenever you receive comfort that comes to us from God. Now, in turning over a little further in the book of Psalms, we'll find in Psalms 86, verse 15, it says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Yes, the Lord is plenteous in mercy, plenteous in truth. He's full of compassion. He is our Lord and our Savior. He is our intercessor, our intermediary between us and our and God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto the servant and save the son of thine handmaid. And then in verse 17, he says this about comfort. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope on me and comforted me. Yes, it's the Lord that comforts us, and we ought to look to the Lord for our comfort. Sometimes the Lord can get angry with us because we get out of the way. We're doing as we shouldn't do, and we're not doing as we should. Even when the Lord is angry with us, He comforts us. It's sort of like a mother or a father who disciplines his child. You who are mothers and fathers will experience what I'm talking about. Your child has done something, you punish them, and then maybe they're crying, they're weeping, and they're so sad because they've been punished. They needed the lesson, but yet after you punish them and you see them weeping, you comfort them. You you're mad at them. You don't like what they did. That's the way God is with us. Well, even when He's mad at us, He comforts us. And it says in chapter 12 of the book of Isaiah, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise Thee. Though Thou wast angry with me, Thine anger is turned away, and Thou comfortest me. Yes, even when God is angry with us, He comforts us. So now we want to turn over here, and we'll find it. It says here, turning over a little further, and this is the last one that I'll go over. It says in this in the book of Isaiah that God comforts us as a mother comforts her child. Now you all experience this and see it with your children. When a child gets hurt, maybe it falls down and scrapes its knee, and it hurts and it cries. And it don't want daddy to comfort it. It wants its mother. That's just a natural thing. A child that's been hurt, it wants its mother. Well, that's the way God is with us. God comforts us as a mother comforts her child. We'll find it in the book of Isaiah. It says here in chapter 13, chapter 16. 66 verse 13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you if ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. So whenever we need comfort, whenever we who are burdened of sin, when we who are as Jesus said, need comfort, it's the Lord, it's God only that can comfort us. So we look to Him for that comfort, even as a mother comforts her child. And you, as I said, can experience in life itself how it is that a child, when it needs comfort, it looks for it from its mother. That's just a natural thing, and that's the way God is with us. He comforts us even as a mother comforts her child. Yes, back to our text. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Now, isn't that something? We're poor in spirit, but God has blessed us with the kingdom of God. We have the visible kingdom, and that's the greatest blessing that anybody can have. If you joined yourself to the Church of Jesus Christ and are members of the church, the visible church, and I've already explained to you the difference between others and this, is God seeketh such to worship Him, that worship Him not only in spirit, but in spirit and in truth. And the difference here is the truth is proclaimed here. We don't profess any error of how salvation comes. Salvation is of the Lord and by the Lord and of the Lord, and that is the truth. And if you're not in a church where they worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, I suggest you find one, join yourself to it. I've been in it now for 40 years, and I recommend it highly, and I recommend it to you, and I recommend this church to be one that's strong in faith and strong in the things of God. Thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you is my prayer. Pray for Elder Martin now as he comes forward.
How sweet the name of
and drives on.
Amen.